Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some of the scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." He said to them in reply, "An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah, the prophet. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And there's something greater than Jonah here. At the judgment, the queen of the south will arise with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there's something greater than Solomon here." The Gospel of the Lord. Today in all three readings, there's a powerful summons to conversion. Whether we really believe in the Lord or not is going to be dependent on how we respond to the Lord's appeal, which is not only historical, it's very much actual. In the Gospel, the scribes and the Pharisees say, "We wish to see a sign from you." A sign is a miracle that points to what's being signified, that Jesus is actually acting with God's authority in all his teaching and all his calling. Jesus had been doing nothing but signs immediately before this, not to mention weeks before, but immediately before this. He healed the man with the withered hand in the synagogue, and he cast out a demon in an exorcism. They all saw it, but they didn't want to accept those signs. They were looking for something else, constantly looking for something else, constantly looking for something else, maybe thinking that eventually he will try to do a sign and fail and say, "Got it, you imposter." They just didn't want to accept anything that he had done. So Jesus says to them, "An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign." The Messiah was going to give signs. A faithful and a good generation would notice those signs and say, "Okay, let's listen." But because they were constantly seeking another, Jesus called them point blank evil and unfaithful, because they weren't receiving on good soil what the Lord himself had given. Jesus says that there'll be only one sign given, the sign of Jonah the prophet. Immediately in St. Matthew's account, Jesus goes on to describe that that will be his greatest sign of all, that just like Jonah quelled the roaring seas by entering into the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, and then he was expunged on dry land, so Jesus would quell the storm of sin by entering into the belly of the earth and being expunged on that third day. Jesus' resurrection is the greatest of all his signs, and one we must constantly ponder. But the sign that Jesus was talking about here is not just his coming death and resurrection. It was his forceful appeal to conversion. Jonah was a sign of conversion. You remember what happened with Jonah at the beginning. He ran away from the mission God had given him to go to the Ninevites and preach conversion. He himself was a convert because of what God had done on the Mediterranean. And then he became that sign for the Ninevites, with no real efficacy to his words. He went through Nineveh, that gargantuan pagan city, and said, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. He didn't even have to get to 39. As soon as he had started to say that, everybody in Nineveh, from the king down to the pets, got into sackcloth and ashes. And they repented, asking God for mercy. And God showed them that mercy. These were pagans, and they converted at the sign of Jonah. When Jesus' first words were, "Repent and believe in the gospel," a sign far greater than Jonah, the scribes and the Pharisees, religious people, rather than behaving like the pagans in Nineveh, ignored the sign and eventually tried to murder the sign, conspiring, as we saw a couple days ago, to have Jesus put to death. Sign of conversion. Jesus went on. He said that the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, had come over continents in order to hear Solomon's wisdom, but that there was a greater than Solomon among them, that Jesus had a far greater wisdom. And if somebody would travel with a whole retinue full of unbelievably wealthy gifts just to sit and listen to Solomon, what people should be doing to Jesus? Let me give you an example. The Queen of Sheba would travel, I calculated it once, I think it was something like 950 miles. I forget off the top of my head what the distance from Sheba to Jerusalem was. But 950 miles, with all the gifts that she could possibly muster in order to hear Solomon's wisdom. What will you do on a Wednesday night to come and hear God's wisdom on our continuing adult education series? Learning the Bible much better, learning our Catholic faith better. What will you do in terms of your reading? What will you do in terms of your watching? What will you do in terms of your knowledge of the Bible? These are all realities. If we're a good and faithful generation, we're going to be hungering for that wisdom. And not just to know it, but to align our entire life to it. Wisdom is not fundamentally an intellectual thing. It's a moral thing. For us to be able to live as we ought, to live as God wants. And Jesus is saying forcefully today, how much are you willing to do to come to grasp that wisdom and let it grasp you? One of the biggest obstacles for most of us is not that we won't convert. We all recognize that we've got our peccadilloes. We'll convert, but we want to convert on our own terms. Not on God's terms. We see that problem, that obstacle in today's first reading. God sends Micah in the 700s BC to those living in Judah because they were wandering from the Lord's path. And here's how they wanted to convert. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? God wanted far more than burnt sacrifices in year-old calves. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and myriad streams of oil? The Lord didn't want dead rams and flowing oil. Shall I give my firstborn for my crime, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Perhaps that child was illegitimate. It was going back to the time when David conceived Solomon's older brother through Bathsheba, and that child died. Who knows? But does God want holocausts of babies? No, he doesn't want that either. You've been told, O man, what is good, God says through Micah, what the Lord requires of you. And he gives three things that are going to be the expression of conversion. To do justice. To do the right thing before God and others. Always seeking to do what God would want us to do. To love, it says here, goodness, the real word is piety. Not just to be reverent of God and reverent of others, but to love being reverent to God and love doing. So not just doing it on the outside. Oh, I got to come to Mass because if I miss Mass, it'll be a mortal sin and I'll go to hell. No, but to be psyched to come to Mass. To be psyched to pray the rosary. To be on fire to come and adore the Lord in the Eucharist, to love it. And third, to walk humbly with your God. God is walking. He wants us to follow Him. doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to change for the better. But we've got to be humble in order to accept that our ways are not the way to salvation, so that we can follow Him on His ways. The problem for most of us is, rather than doing the right, we want to do what we want. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it ain't, but we're attached to our will. Rather than loving piety, we just begrudgingly want to do it, kind of as the taxes on our time by God, the eternal IRS agent. And we want to stay kind of where we are. We don't want to walk. And when we walk, we want others to see that we're walking in the Corpus Christi procession, rather than walking truly humbly, pleasing the Lord who sees what is done in secret. That's the type of conversion that the Lord wants, to walk in the ways of His holy wisdom. The responsorial psalm today, what did we see? That many recited the Lord's statutes, professed His covenant with their mouth, but God wanted it professed with their heart, with their hands, with their feet. They hate discipline and cast His words behind. But He wants us to offer with our life a sacrifice of praise to glorify Him. To the one who goes in the right way, I will show God's salvation. Yesterday, we pondered the three parables of the Lord, and one of those three was about leaven. All of us as Catholics are meant to be the leaven of this type of conversion in the midst of the world, to lift everybody else up to it. The seed that the Lord plants in us, at the size of a mustard seed perhaps today by the Word of God, is meant to grow in us and throughout the church, to be a mustard tree, a huge tree of mercy, so that people know when they come that they're experiencing the One who spent 3 days in the belly of the earth in order to take away their sins because He loved them that much. We are the good seed that's planted in the field of the world to counteract all the bad seed of those who don't walk humbly with the Lord, those who don't do justice, and those who don't love piety because they don't love God and they don't love others. We're supposed to be that leaven in the middle of the world. In the late 1500s, in the early 1600s, St. Lawrence of Brindisi was that type of leaven. Even as a young boy, he loved piety. He used to give homilies on Christmas, the time he was six, according to the tradition at the time, that always have a little boy preach that Christmas homily, and he did it in such a way that brought the people of Brindisi to tears. He had a photographic memory. He learned the entire Bible in Hebrew and Greek by heart. He was an incredible student, an incredible teacher, but none of that was what pleased God most. It was a real sign of conversion. He would go from the time he was a deacon into all the Catholic churches, including the most famous, and call people to repent and believe in the gospel, and they'd heed his powerful appeal. He was sent by the Pope up to Germany to speak to the Protestants who had abandoned the church, and he brought so many of them back into communion by preaching the mercy of God and that the road was open. And Pope Paul V even sent him into the Jewish ghetto in Rome because he knew Hebrew inside out and he knew the Hebrew scriptures inside out. And he was the instrument of the conversion, the bringing to the fullness of the faith of so many of those who were living solely by the old covenant. He was the one who enfleshed all of this because he grasped that what was most important was not how many languages he knew, not the fact that he could cite scripture and verse, but by the fact that the Lord had given us all of that so that we might live by that holy wisdom. And He made that enfleshed wisdom so attractive that many people wanted to follow Him on that divine path. Today, as we come forward here to celebrate this Mass, to hear that sign of Jonah preaching to us and to receive Him on the inside, and as we come into communion with Him, we enter into the belly of the earth for 3 days, and we rise from the dead with Him again. We make our own the prayer with which we began this Mass, in which, as you remember, we prayed to God. Grant, we pray, that in the same spirit of St. Lawrence of Brindisi, we may know what must be done and through His intercession bring it to completion. We now know what must be done through His help and the power of the sacrament. Let us allow the Lord to bring that gift to fulfillment so that we one day might share with St. Lawrence His eternal glory. Praise be Jesus Christ.